It's noon on a rainy Sunday here in Paris. In fact, Chaitanya Chandra had told me that the weather forecast is for more rain tomorrow. And aside from that, it's also cold. Let's see how things mature for Harinam and preaching tomorrow. In fact, Adhikara Prabhu was suggesting that rather than do Harinam in the morning, that everyone go out and distribute books, and that it gives a better opportunity to meet people and talk to people than a generally moving Harinam party in which it's difficult to set up connection with favorable people and keep them, since devotees are also on the move. So that's going to be our new strategy, new way for contacting people and bringing them into the preaching center. This afternoon, Ramdas will be taking us to the temple to see Radha Parasishvara. We haven't yet seen them since we've been here, and I'd like to have Adhikara Prabhu see them. And of course, as many of us as can fit in the car to take darshan. I wanted to continue a little on the subject matter of deity worship, which we brought up a few days back, because it's really something that's of utmost importance, especially for grihasthas who are living outside the temple. Srila Prabhupada makes this point in the verse Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu in the seventh canto. And Jiva Goswami also in Bhakti Sandarbha emphasizes that grihasthas must worship the deities in their homes. Of course, if grihasthas living close to the temple, then Srila Prabhupada preferred that they worship the temple deity, that they cook for the deity, perform some artik, dress the deity. Sometimes that's not possible, and that they are, for instance, Bhaktivedanta Manor, many, many grihasthas, and ultimately there are only so many artiks and so many offerings to be cooked, and those also have to be done by properly initiated Brahmins and up to a certain standard. So if everyone cannot get into the deity service at a temple, then they can worship their own deities, and in addition to that, they can also have their own deities, like the worship of Gornitai, which I'm going to speak a little bit more about. In any case, deity worship is very important. Why? Because the nature of grihastha life is that one becomes very preoccupied with one's home. The maintenance of family, especially children, are very demanding and make one griha centered in terms of one's consciousness, and that in turn strengthens this tendency of I and mine. These things of I and mine, namely I in relationship to this body and mine, that those things such as home and family are my property, are the basis of the false ego and are really counterproductive to the liberated consciousness of Krishna consciousness, where I'm not this body, I'm Krishna's eternal servant. Nirmam mamoha, nothing belongs to me, everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, acharyas have recommended, and particularly Narada Muni's vision has been, that we place the deity as the focus of our home, and all activities in the home are done as a means to serve and please the Lord. That means that devotees rise in the morning and they immediately come and, after bathing, bow down and offer prayers to the Lord. The Lord, who is the proprietor of the home. The home no longer belongs to me or my family, it belongs to the deities. Children, as well as all family members, are taught that the deity is the focus of the home. And unlike, for instance, when we may visit some not such devoted Hindus, we may see that their deities are kept in some closet somewhere under the steps, some little room. Unlike that, the deity should have the most prominent place in the house. They should have the best room, the temple room, the living room. They should be seated nicely on a beautiful altar, not just simply some shelf or a closet. And they should have the opulences which they deserve, or at least commensurate with the opulence and the wealth of the grihastha. If the grihasthas are very poor, then a mud altar will do within a mud hut. But if they live comfortably in a large house in the West, then they should give proportionate accommodation to the deities. Cooking should be done, is that we're not cooking for ourselves, but we're cooking for the pleasure of the Lord, and will be honoring and respecting the Lord's prasadam. That means that devotees at home learn not to cook and prepare those things that are palatable for them, but those things that are palatable for Krishna. Family activities are reading together in front of the deities, reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, doing artik to the deities, activities which children can also be involved in, not necessarily for Radha Krishna deities, but certainly for Gornitai deities, leading kirtan, playing instruments, dressing the deities, glorifying the deities, waking them up, putting them to sleep, talking about them, making them family members. Indeed, that is how grihasthas worship deities. They worship them as the family members and the preeminent family member. When Sanatana Goswami went to Mathura and he visited the family of a Chubhe Brahmanas, and they were worshipping, or they were taking care of Madan Gopal, who later became Sanatana Goswami's deity. They were worshipping him like their family member. They were sitting him down at the table. They were laying him down in the bed. He was being treated just like every other family member. Of course, that type of family worship shouldn't be imitated, because that's on the level of pure spontaneous devotional service. But and we should therefore keep the deities on the altar and not put them in our bed or sit them down at the dining room table. But nonetheless, they are, rather than dealt with in the way that temple deities are, who are the focus of an entire community or a city, as Govindaji is in Jaipur, family deities are the focus for the family, and they're part and parcel of the family as well, but they happen to be the head of the family. So devotees sometimes ask, what if chanting Hare Krishna is enough? Why do we have to worship deities? And it's true that chanting the holy name is sufficient. However, our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, Jiva Goswami, and others have explained that the process of chanting the holy name is really done on the offenses platform. When it's done offenselessly, then devotees advance very quickly and they're insulated from the influence of the material energy. However, Srila Prabhupada points out, most of our disciples are conditioned souls. They chant offensively. They have many attachments still to this material world. And therefore, to sum it up, they need as much help as they can get. And the help that they can acquire from chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can be augmented with the purification that one acquires by worshipping the deity of the Lord. And it's for this reason that Narada Muni gave his Pancha Trikivedi, his rules and regulations for the worship of the deities. And in the same way, Sanatana Goswami also gave Hari Bhakti Vilas with the same purpose in mind. So the devotees, by the service to the deity form, by becoming free from selfish mentality, by learning the process of surrender and dedicating everything that they own, everything that they have to the deity, their hearts become purified, whereby they can chant the holy name purely, free of offense, and in that way they can perfect the process of devotional service. So, encouragement to everyone to continue in the line which Srila Prabhupada has given us, and that is that all grihasthas should concentrate on how to improve and perfect the chanting of the holy name, and along with the chanting, the worship of the Lord's deity form. There are many forms, and Srila Prabhupada says Radha and Krishna, Sitaram, Gaur Nitai. Of course, we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. As to what deities are appropriate, whether someone should worship Govardhan Srila, Shalagram Srila, these should be discussed along with one's spiritual master. And of course, deity worship is not just for the grihasthas, but brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, and sannyasis. I've been worshipping Dhanitai Gurhari for 25 years now. You all know of many sannyasis like Indradyumna Maharaj, Govinda Maharaj, who also worship deities. The idea of receiving brahminical initiation, and this is something that I emphasize often to my disciples, is that through the media of the Gayatri Mantra and Brahman Diksha, they can now perform deity worship. Unfortunately, I find that often devotees don't engage in deity worship, and that's not very good. They should, otherwise what was the point of the whole thing? Devotees, brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, who live in the temple, or grihasthas who live in the temple, they should engage in active service to the deities. And by so doing, not only will the burden on the head pujari to find enough pujaris to assist with the service come to an end, but it will also help devotees become purified from many of the unwanted things that burden their hearts and help them make real advancement in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, without coming close to the deity, my experience is the devotees are generally not as conscious of the deities as they should be in the temple. They don't develop a very close and personal relationship with them. And Krishna as a person, Krishna as someone who is an integral part of their life, remains more theoretical or philosophical than practical as that person who's really standing before them, not as a deity, but as a person, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For ultimately, perfection of deity worship is that we no longer see the deity as made of being stone or wood, although we should never believe that they are just stone or wood, but no longer see them, but rather we see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Radha and Krishna personally present before us. To achieve that type of perfection, one has to make an effort. And therefore, the effort is that we should begin by first following the rules and regulations of deity worship, and we should take deity worship very seriously, according to how Srila Prabhupada had indicated in his books to his followers. So I hope that this clears up some points and gives inspiration to devotees to make deity worship more important part of their life, and if it isn't part of their life, to incorporate it. Otherwise, this concept of Krishna consciousness, as I mentioned earlier, is something that may be somewhat too distant or too far away for us to reach. But when Krishna is present, standing before us, then it's very easy to be conscious of him. Hare Krishna.